Beloved congregation, children, especially children right now, I need you to listen very carefully, because I read a story last week about a man who was traveling in a faraway country, and in his travels, he found a young boy who was looking after the sheep. And he started talking to this little boy, and he asked him if he knew Psalm 23. And the boy said, "No, I don't. I've never heard of it." And the man said, "Well, let me teach you the first sentence of it. Say these words after me. The Lord is my shepherd." And here's one way you can remember it, is to use the five fingers of your hand to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the little boy did that. And the man said, "Well, let's do it once more so you don't forget. The Lord is..." And then he said, "When you come to that little word, my, grab that finger. My shepherd." Don't ever forget that the Lord is not just a shepherd, but that when you trust Him and believe Him, He is your shepherd. Children, when you come home, you will show your parents how to remember Psalm 23. It is probably the best known chapter of the whole Bible. It's used at all kinds of funerals. Most funerals will quote this at one point or another, even those who are not Christians or believers. And that's sad, because it's really not a funeral psalm. It's a psalm that speaks of life and rest and peace. It includes this life and extends to eternity future. I've been reading a book by Robert Godfrey, Learning to Love the Psalms. And he says in there that the theme of the psalm is often found in the opening verse or in the closing verse. But it is also often found in the very middle of the psalm. The one thought that unites every verse of the psalm, and that's the case in Psalm 23. The middle of verse 4 really is the heart of Psalm 23. These words, "For thou art with me." Those words unite every verse of Psalm 4. And I would like to read our text that way. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. With that phrase uniting every verse. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, for thou art with me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, for thou art with me. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, for thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, for thou art with me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over, for thou art with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, for thou art with me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, for thou art with me." That's our text, Psalm 23. And the theme is, "For thou art with me." We want to see how that is true of Jesus as the good shepherd, and also of Jesus as the gracious host. "For thou art with me." Think with me of verse 1, word by word. The Lord, the Lord. That's That's the name that is the source of all of David's comfort here in Psalm 23. That it is the Lord who is his shepherd. Jehovah, the sovereign, almighty, covenant-keeping, delivering God. And Jesus took this name for himself when he said, before Abraham was, I am. Many people place their trust and hope in all sorts of other people and things. But David was right in placing his trust in the one true God who controls all things. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is in his rightful place as Lord over your life. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the second word, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Is that your confession too? That the Lord Jesus Christ is my good shepherd? That's why we read from John chapter 10 too, where this is fulfilled. Do you have the confidence to say that the Almighty God in Christ Jesus is your shepherd right now? Not the Lord was my shepherd at one time. He helped me in the past. Not the Lord will be my shepherd, like something you look forward to, something you hope he will do for you in the future, but the Lord is, present tense, right now. David knows who his God is right now for him. Do you? That's why he says, thou art with me. Thou, Lord, God Almighty, are with me. The Lord is my shepherd. One of the great things about Psalm 23 is that it is so personal. If you count all the personal pronouns, the I and the me and the my and the thee and the thou in there, it's almost 30 times in only 6 verses. The Lord is not just a shepherd who looks after the whole flock. And the Lord is not just the shepherd who looks after the whole flock. No, the Lord is my shepherd. He cares for me personally. Yes, he cares for all the sheep. But among all those sheep, he is interested in me too. And we need to realize that as we read Psalm 23, that it is valid only for those who trust this Lord, who put all their trust and expectation and hope in this Lord, who trust him and believe him, who say by faith, I know thou art with me. The Lord is my shepherd. And the Lord is my shepherd. That's the imagery of the shepherd and the sheep that spans the whole Bible, but most certainly here in Psalm 23, explained greatly in John chapter 10, where the Lord speaks about his relationship with his people. And he calls his people sheep. That's not a very flattering title, really. I read somewhere where somebody asked a shepherd to describe his sheep. What are the characteristics of your sheep? How would you describe them? And he said, they're dumb. And they're dirty. And defenseless. And dependent. If there's a ditch somewhere, my sheep are sure to fall into it and need to be rescued. If there's a wire fence somewhere, they are sure to find that fence and get caught in it. And the same thing will happen tomorrow. And they're prone to wander. There you have it. That's the animal God chooses to describe you, dear believers. Totally dependent on the Good Shepherd to provide and to protect and guide his sheep. To remind ourselves of these things and each other too of this. Jesus is the good shepherd who looks after our lives because we cannot look after ourselves. Thou art with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That word want there, children, is an old English word that means I shall not lack anything. I shall not lack anything. It means that with the Lord protecting and providing for his sheep, they will not lack anything that he knows they need. Whatever we need, he provides. So whatever we receive in our lives, he provides. That's what we need. Is that your confidence too? We all love Psalm 23, don't we? There's nobody that hates Psalm 23 that I know of, but do we believe it? Do we believe this? If we grasp the truth of this first verse alone with our hearts, we could rest. We could be at rest, no matter what. That doesn't mean that there will not be times of drought and valleys and difficulties and afflictions and needs. No, far from it. God loves us too much, dear believers, to just make things always easy. That would not accomplish his purposes in the rest of Psalm 23. But the confidence of David that he has in is that the good shepherd will always know what we need and when to provide it. And that everything will be okay because he is in control. For thou art with me. Maybe you pray like I do sometimes. Lord, whatever it takes to make me more Christ-like, whatever it takes to make me more dependent on you, give me that. Whatever that is. Sometimes you get what you ask for, and the Lord will bring difficulties that you've never seen before into your life for those very things. But look why he does it. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, some areas of the world's farms and fields seem to be all green pastures. And the sheep in those places can just munch grass all day long. They don't even have to go look for it. But that's not how it is in the dry lands of the Middle East. And we need to read Psalm 23 through that lens. Because there the green pastures and the waters that are spoken of in this verse are often quite far apart. And the shepherd has to lead his flock to them. So they'd have to travel from one place to another. But notice what is so calming and so reassuring for David is that he makes me and he leads me. Jesus, the good shepherd, is always leading and bringing his sheep to a place of rest. That's what he's doing for you, dear believers. When we try to work things out with our little minds, then we end up working ourselves into a place of nervous exhaustion. Oh, how we need to learn to sit back and trust him once again. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I don't do that. He leads me beside the still waters. I don't do that. I can't even find those places. And this place of rest, spiritually speaking, can be right in the middle of the biggest problem you've ever had. And it doesn't mean that outwardly anything has to change. The circumstances can remain exactly the same. But what Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is leading and guiding and teaching us is about the inward change of our hearts and our minds toward the circumstances. Even if outwardly things remain exactly the same and the news is just as bad, but we need to learn to lie down. We do that physically already, right? When we're tired, we take a rest. That makes sense. It works. But mentally and spiritually, we can get very, very tired to the point of exhaustion, trying to work out all our problems, trying to get all the answers, and then we don't rest. We lie on our beds and we flip and we flop. And we carry on that same endless thought process inside. And it just leads to burnout and breakdowns and depression. And we tend to forget the gospel fact. For thou art with me. For thou art with me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Thanks be to Jesus, our good shepherd. He brings us to the green pastures and the quiet waters. And at those times, says Psalm 23, he restores my soul. He brings my soul into a right relationship with the Lord God. He lets me know my sins are forgiven through faith in Christ. He gives me sweet communion with the Lord. He grants inward peace. Peace. They are quiet waters. When there are no waves. Where we can feed and be restored. Thank the Lord for such times. That feeding is symbolic of being fed spiritually with the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ. He makes me to lie down in green pastures of the Gospel. He leads me beside the still waters of the Gospel. He leads me in the paths of righteousness of the Gospel for His name's sake. See, the path that the shepherd takes his sheep on are righteous paths or right paths. He will lead us to places of rest and provision, resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous. That doesn't mean that the path the shepherd takes is always an easy path. No, sometimes it has to go through very dark valleys, as it says in the next verse. But it is still the path of righteousness. The path that leads to righteousness. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to sinners. That's the path the Good Shepherd is leading his sheep on. And dear believers, as you think back now of your life so far, what path has the Lord led and guided you through? Was it always where you thought it would go? Was it always thought what you thought would be best for you? No, it wasn't. But it was always what God knew would be best for you. And God's eternal desire is that He would have all His children displaying His glory and His light within them and expressed clearly in how they react and how they interact. And how Christ-like they are becoming by His grace, for whom He did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the purpose of all of God's dealings and all of God's leadings in the life of His sheep. God will always lead us into what is right and true, and He does it for His name's sake. Not for the sheep's name's sake, but for His name's sake. Because of His grace. And so it will be to His glory. Our lives, dear believers, are to be a testimony to God Himself. And these are the paths we should desire and pray for. In a few weeks, the Lord willing, we'll get to Psalm 25, where the psalmist says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Yes, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even when our way gets very dark. Yes, even then, and especially then, he leads us and is with us. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's not talking there about dying. It's the shadow of death. It's not death, but the shadow of death. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Children, it was not easy being a sheep in Israel in the old days. It's not easy there now either. Sometimes the path had to go straight through the valley of the shadow of death. As the shepherd led his sheep from one green pasture to another, could be some ways away, that sometimes meant going through very narrow valleys that had steep cliffs on each side. And those valleys were often very dark because of the shadows caused by those cliffs. And those valleys were a favorite place for predators to hide in. And it was not a good place to be if you are a defenseless sheep. And this verse speaks to us, doesn't it, of the trying times in our lives. Times when there is darkness and uncertainty and fear and confusion and not knowing. But notice how the psalmist says he walks through this valley. He doesn't die there. He walks through this valley. He doesn't stop there. He doesn't give up hope there. No, he says, I will fear no evil, even in that valley. You may be in a dark and scary place right now, dear believer, but you must keep walking. This is not the place where you stop. It's not the place where you sit down thinking, well, this is it. This is all I will ever know. No, you press on. Knowing that if there are shadows, there must be light around the corner that's causing those shadows. Children, you know that, don't you? You can't have shadows if there's no light. So where there are shadows, there is light. And it is in those times, in the valley of the shadow of death, that grace becomes very personal. That the gospel becomes very personal. That the Lord Jesus Christ becomes very real. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You have to notice the switch in verse 4. The other verses all talk about he leads me, right? But here, he switches to thou art with me. And now David is not, at this moment, he's not talking about his good shepherd. He is talking to the good shepherd. And you know that the Lord has brought you to the place where he wants you to be. When you're not just talking about him, but that you begin to talk to him. For thou art with me. See, it becomes really personal in this valley. The great wonder is that through and with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd in our lives, we can actually go through these times without fear. You will be free from fear no matter what the circumstances are, to the degree that you know and believe that he is with you. And you tell him, for thou art with me no matter what. Thou art with me. The first time through a dark valley can be very, very scary. But children, you know that it is in that dark valley. That's where the people of the Lord may not be able to see the shepherd as well as they want to, or as well as they once did, but they know he sees me and he's still protecting me. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And later trips through the valley. No, it's not easy, but trust increases. And how amazing and wonderful it is that weak and fearful people can be given such confidence through simply trusting in the ability of the shepherd. You are with me, the psalmist says. And then no matter what, that's all I need to know. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's a strange saying, isn't it? How can a rod and staff comfort somebody? Well, it is not just any old rod and staff. It is the rod and staff of the good shepherd. And children, every shepherd had a rod. It was like a stick. It was more like a club. And he would use that to chase away predators and to hit animals on the head to protect his sheep. He would use that stick to drive away dangerous enemies. And what a comfort that is to David and to the Lord's people, that the Lord will drive away our enemies. He does it with his rod. No predator or robber or enemy ever takes him by surprise. But you know what else I read this week? And sometimes the good shepherd has to use that rod to hit one of his sheep. He sometimes has to break a leg of a sheep. A sheep that's been, just keeps running away. And he breaks its leg. Not to hurt it, but to teach it. Not to run away. And then there's the shepherd's staff. It was also made out of wood. And it had a hook on the end. A crook, they called that. And he would use that to in case a wandering sheep would wander away, he would take that crook and put it around its neck and pull it back. Just draw it back to him. And that's what the Lord has to do with his sheep, in disciplining us, pulling us back into line. Oh, how comforting a sign that he loves us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. For thou art with me. Well, in verses 1 through 4, Jesus is set before us as the good shepherd. But in verses 5 and 6, as the gracious host. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, here it is. He did it. Visibly. In our midst this morning, he has prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over, for thou art with me. David here pictures the Lord God as a gracious host who provides everything he needs, even in times of great difficulty. This table represents all the blessings that are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, enemies may surround David, but he's saying the provision and the grace of God gives him such confidence that at the very time when he should be fearful and anxious, a time of great affliction, like while in the very presence of his enemies, he's able to sit and relax and eat. And dear believers, it's the same for us, isn't it? We have great enemies. The worst one being our own sinful flesh. And then all the worldly influences around us, and then Satan. And this table is prepared in the presence of those enemies too. And that is how we can sit and relax just a few moments and eat and drink, because Jesus Christ, the gracious host, is the one who provides all. Jesus Christ, the gracious host, is the one who anoints our heads with oil. The oil of joy, he calls it. That was what a gracious host did for their guests in Israel. And David knew, and when the Lord gives his gifts, we will have more than enough. My cup is running over, he says. And so, dear believers, you may be, your enemies may be scaring the daylights out of you, but thou art with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What a gracious revelation here. Can you say that about your life, my dear friend? You will only be able to say that if you believe the gospel and you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your shepherd by faith. Then you are truly one of his sheep. And that's evidenced by hearing his voice through the word of God and following his ways. The voice of his word revealed in the Holy Scriptures, trusting, obeying him. Then this verse is your verse as well. Jesus, the good shepherd, will never, ever leave you. That's why you can say, for thou art with me. His goodness and mercy will always follow you. That word follow in Hebrew is the word that we would use to pursue after somebody, to chase after somebody. It's normally used in a negative sense, like when Pharaoh chased after the people of Israel in Exodus. But David knew all about this. Being chased and pursued as he ran from his enemies who sought to take his life. But David knew something else too. For thou art with me. In all of those things, he was also being pursued by the goodness and the loving kindness of his good shepherd. It would always be there. And David knew that this would carry on all the days of his life. And the same is true for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. What confidence for life this should give us when we live by faith in Christ. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it begins here. The goodness and the mercy of the Lord following after us all the days of our life. And we getting to know him as the good shepherd and the gracious host, that doesn't stop when you die. That continues. In a more glorious way, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There you have that matter of what occurs after the days of my life. The good shepherd, the gracious host, protects and provides for his sheep during every day of their life on this earth. And there is a greater provision and a greater blessing still to come. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrowing, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. See, all the days of our life here, we have those things, don't we? Tears and death and sorrow and crying and pain. With the love and the mercy of God. But there, the love and the mercy of God without those things. The former things are passed away. And it will be forever. Forever, without interruption. In all perfection. For now, let us abide in him. By abiding in his word. by abiding in the sacrament and follow the Lord wherever he leads, and let us stick close to him and thank him for his wonderful grace, remembering he's not just a good shepherd, but he is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd of Hebrews 13, verse 20. And at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ is a gracious host. Everything he gives is of his grace, and he is 100% trustworthy. Do you believe him? Will you not trust him? When the days of this life are over, then we shall enter into what we can only partly imagine now. Because as it is written in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And we get a little foretaste of those things this morning. Amen.